happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase on North State Public Radio. Art photographer Richard Baldy has been to some interesting places. His travel and nature photographs are on display at the Red Tavern in Chico. Today we'll talk with Baldy about his travels and his photos. Theater on the Ridge in Paradise has been one of the longest-running community theaters in all of California. But due to yesterday's fire devastation, TOTR may have come to its final curtain. As a tribute to the theater, we're featuring today an interview recorded last weekend with the writer-director and the cast from the latest production, High Noon on Wall Street, a rock and roll musical. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Shasta College Art Gallery exhibits selected works from the Cohen Collection. This art dealer's acquisitions from the 1970s, contemporary European graphics, Spanish artwork, and limited edition books. The gallery in Shasta's art department is open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Tomorrow, at Redding's Cascade Theater, the North State Symphony, under the baton of Maestro Scott Seaton, presents Masterworks 2, Mozart's Influence. The symphony plays pieces by Tchaikovsky and Beethoven, as well as Mozart's iconic Symphony No. 40. The concert begins at 7:30. At the Orland Art Center, see paintings by Marilyn Walsh and ceramics by Michelle Turner in the exhibit A Handsome Harvest. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater stages The Walworth Farce, an Irish play that starts as a comic farce, transforms into a domestic drama, and ends as a realistic bloody tragedy. Performances start at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. Tomorrow evening, the Chico State Chorale Ensemble offers you soaring melodies and heavenly harmonies in its musical presentation, On Wings of Song. This magical journey takes flight at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater, starting at 7:30. Sunday afternoon, the North State Symphony brings its Masterworks 2 concert to Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State campus. Audiences in Chico can thrill to music by Tchaikovsky, Beethoven, and Mozart, beginning at 2 o'clock. There's a reception tonight at the Museum of Northern California Art. The museum, in cooperation with the Stonewall Alliance, presents the 10th annual Coming Out for Art Show. This year's theme is Expressions of Resilience. The reception, featuring live music, poetry, and performances, is tonight from 6 till 9. The reception and the exhibition are at Monca, 900 The Esplanade, in Chico. The exhibition is open through Sunday. In Chico State's Humanities Building, the Janet Turner Print Museum presents Deep Etch, Legends of Chico Printmaking, displaying works by former members of the university's art faculty. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also in the Humanities Building at Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery features Legal Gender, the Irreverent Art of Anita Steckel. Feminist artist Steckel, who passed away in 2012, worked primarily in collage and montage. The University Art Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. That's the calendar for this week. Born this date, Hedy Lamarr, who, in addition to being a glamorous movie star, had many amazing attributes, including a passion for visual art. "A good painting to me," she explained, "has always been like a friend. It keeps me company, comforts, and inspires."
The time has come to sing a traveling song.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with Dick Baldy, a photographer, part of a three-person exhibition at the Red Tavern in Chico that is up now and will run through the holidays. I'm only speaking with one of the three photographers. The other two, Amber Palmer and Karma Gansler, are off traveling. Dick, what will people expect from this exhibition?
You'll see a lot of travel photography, as you've mentioned. Some from Nepal, from Alaska, some from Africa. One of my favorite pictures that I have is one taken in the desert of Nevada near Las Vegas.
You were talking about the specifics of showing at the Red Tavern, and they have those wonderful burgundy walls and lighting that is very romantic.
It may be very romantic, but it's not very good for displaying photographs. What I did before the show is I went down and took light readings at different places on the walls. I tried to show pictures then that were probably printed lighter than I would normally print them, and also simple compositions that you could look across the room and see what it was. Even though you couldn't see great detail, you could see, oh, that's a penguin emerging from water, or that's a Kodiak bear.
I was at happy hour there recently, and it's a very evocative show. It really makes you want to grab your camera and go out to those locations and give it a try.
Well, that's always a great deal of fun when you're traveling. It's a challenge to continue photographing when you're back home. When you're out traveling and you see something spectacular, you just grab the camera and take pictures, and hopefully you get the composition right. Your camera settings are proper, and you can adjust the pictures when you get back. The real challenge is to be able to do this when you get back home. What can you see that you walk by every day, and one day you see it in a different way?
You had some wonderful things to say about amateur photographers.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me. I'm an amateur photographer. I don't sell pictures normally. We'll sell at the show if anyone wants to buy them. Normally, my work goes out because I give it away for charitable events. If anyone has an organization and needs some art sometime, well, give me a call and we can work something out.
Tell the listeners about how you became fascinated by photography.
My wife and I were graduate students. We got our first camera. It was totally manual, which was very good preparation because you have to learn how to adjust the shutter speed of the aperture. Initially, I was just developing black and white. Had good fun just watching images emerge from the chemical baths. During the course of our careers, I didn't have time to do much photography until we go on trips. It was all travel photography. Just before I retired, I'd been doing a lot of computer programming and had a lot of computer books. And I just took those off the shelf and filled it with Photoshop books and became quite serious about my photography.
What kind of advice would you give to photographers just setting out, perhaps a little unsure about what kind of equipment to get?
If you're going to take the time to develop your own pictures, and I mean using something like Photoshop, you probably don't need the full version of Photoshop. Photoshop Elements will work. But if you can get a camera that will shoot in what is called RAW format, the camera doesn't develop it for you. So most cameras use the picture you see on the screen. The camera has already worked on that using its interpretation of how the photograph should appear. But you may want to do it somewhat differently. So shooting in a RAW format would be quite appropriate. You don't need a super megapixel camera. I had a show maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I shot with a point-and-shoot camera. I was able to capture the formats in RAW. That camera probably had 5 or 6 megapixels, and it was quite adequate. So don't spend the money unless you're going to be shooting something special like birds in flight at a distance. You're going to spend thousands of dollars. Otherwise, a camera that you'll carry with you. You want a camera that you attach a filter to, like an ultraviolet filter or a polarizing filter. In many cases, your photography will improve a lot if you use a tripod. A camera that you can pack with you that does have some capability of shooting in RAW format and if possible has manual controls, and learn your camera really well before you go out and spend money for another one. The right camera is the one you have with you.
What would you say your major impetus to do photography would be?
Just encouraging myself to look carefully. I'm a type of person that lives a lot in my head. What I find about carrying a camera with me is I start seeing the world differently. I enjoyed my computer work, programming work, and it's some of the same satisfaction that comes out of developing pictures.
You've had a long-time relationship with one of the other photographers, Karma Gansler, and then a briefer relationship with Amber Palmer. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about both?
Karma and I go back at least a couple of decades. We've traveled together in Nepal. If you come to the Red Tavern show, you'll see some of Karma's pictures in Nepal. We have very similar interests. We've gone out shooting together. We have that in common. Amber, I don't know nearly as well. We've only had about three or four encounters, but the first encounter was really a lot of fun. My wife and I were taking our granddaughter and her boyfriend out to Red Tavern for dinner, and I happened to look around and saw some of this art. Turns out it was Amber's art. I said, oh, I really like this work. She came over and I got to meet her and tell her how much I liked her work, both her paintings and her photography. She's been very gracious, providing help to hang the show.
I was very impressed to learn from you that you do your own framing.
When I first started, I was having framing done professionally. That's expensive. I found that I can really do that myself, and I would encourage people to try it. I don't have very fancy equipment. I end up on my hands and knees on the kitchen floor cutting mats out, using something under the mat so I don't scar the flooring. But that is great fun, and I don't get the corners quite as nicely symmetrical as they should be. But when I step back and look at the picture from the normal viewing distance, I can't see those imperfections. So it's quite possible to do your own framing and matting.
Well, this is quite a spectacular show of three photographers who really know how to look at the world around them, both exotic and very close by. The Red Tavern is on the Esplanade between 3rd and 4th Avenues in Chico. Well, thank you so much.
The time has come to sing a traveling song. The time has come to sing a traveling song.
Now on Weekend Showcase, we bring you an interview we recorded last weekend with the writer-director and the cast from the latest production at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. But as you've probably guessed, performances for this show have been canceled due to fire devastation.
I'm here at Theater on the Ridge. The current production is called High Noon on Wall Street.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
And I have the writer and director of the show. This is Jerry Miller. Is this kind of nostalgic for you? Because I recall being involved with theater with you, I think it was 29 years ago, and that was the first time you did this show. So does it feel like old times for you?
It's a combination of nostalgia, and we have new people, and we always try to make it fresh. But it was kind of fun. Friday night, we had two of the performers from the show 30 years ago were in the audience. And I don't know, I got a little beklempt. And it was great to see them. And we have, you know, Paul, this is the second time he's done the show. He did it 15 years ago. Jeff Dickinson, this is, in a way, his third time doing it because he filled in for somebody 30 years ago.
So, Jerry, this was the first show that you wrote.
Yes, that was the very first one that I wrote back in the 80s.
Tell me about the formula for this, because you followed this up with many more shows that had the same basic formula.
Well, this one, you know, like most of the jukebox musicals, we pulled from sources that we love. In this case, it was just a mashup between High Noon and then Wall Street. And you get High Noon on Wall Street.
But with rock and roll songs of all kinds.
Yeah, it's just songs I love to listen to. So it's, you know, when it was first done, my dear friend Marcel Daguerre and I put the show together. He was a musical director, and these were all songs that, you know, we really loved.
For this show, you took the story of the classic Western High Noon, and you translated it into modern day and moved it to Wall Street. So how did you get that idea?
Well, I think a lot of it is what happens on Wall Street is kind of still like the Wild Wild West. I mean, you still have a lot of corporate raiders. You have people like Bernie Madoff that we mentioned in the show. There's a lot of bank robbers on Wall Street right now today. High Noon, some people call it a classic Western. It's a little bit of a film noir. It deals with good versus evil and how tough it is to be good in a world that does not reward goodness or honesty. Because Wall Street is a world where other things are rewarded.
What was it like for you coming up with these classic rock and roll songs of all types and matching them to the situations and the emotions in the story?
Well, like I said, both myself and Marcel, obviously we love this music. You know, I used to work in an oldie station, so, you know, my brain was filled with all these songs. So when I started putting the story together and the moments started to evolve, I said, oh, here's what would be perfect for this. Or sometimes it was the other way around. It's like, I love this song. Where would that fit and under what circumstances? So I'd, you know, tailor the story to fit the song.
Has your cast here at Theater on the Ridge been having a blast singing these great oldies?
Finally, yes. See, it's very complex music. You know, a lot of these harmonies and a lot of these songs, we've known them for a long time. But, you know, people like the Beatles really were quite complex with their music. And so it was hard work. And they were like, I'll never get this harmony. And then finally, a few days before the show, it all started to gel like I knew it would. Now they're having a blast. Now that they've got it, now they're just having fun with it. And the audience seems to really enjoy it with them.
Tell me about some reactions you've had from your audience, because most of these people actually lived through all these eras when the music was current.
Current, or a lot of them, it's like when it came out, it's that darn rock and roll, even back then. And so, but everybody pretty much, this hits in some sort of nostalgia belt that reminds them, you know, of other days and times. When you hear, you know, Help, Easy to Be Hard from Hair, you know, you can't help but be brought back to those days.
So what's the most fun for you now doing this show, which I think you've done three times, including this production?
It's finding ways to make it fresh, making it new every time. We have new bits in the show, new moments. I actually didn't have a script. It was on a computer I had like three computers ago. And so I called around, I asked Marcel, I go, do you still have a script for this show? And he goes, yeah, I think I do. And he brought it over, and it wasn't really the script. It was our original notes and dialogue from the very first one. It was incomplete. So I couldn't remember all the missing parts, so I just wrote new parts.
We've been talking with Jerry Miller, who is the writer and the director of High Noon on Wall Street, the rock and roll musical now at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we have Matilda Crolder. She is the young wife of the main character. So what's it like being in this show that's kind of a classic Western, but also a commentary on Wall Street?
I just think it was a whole lot of fun I have done a little work with Theater on the Ridge in the past, and it was amazing to be able to work with the wonderful people here again. We put a lot of effort into this, and it was a team effort too, so you really get to know the people, and then it's just fun to go out there every night. Like Jerry says, every night we go out, we're supposed to be having a party on the stage.
Have you sung rock and roll before in a show?
Well, I usually do a lot of jazz and blues standards. This was kind of my first rock and roll type of music styling.
So what's it like for you to take hold of these classic rock tunes and really go with them?
Well, Tamara, our music director, she is absolutely amazing helping people learn different styles to sing. She helped me a lot on finding the more, you know, mask resonant and going up high and belting. And that was really a lot of fun, a good learning experience.
If you were going to describe to audiences who might be coming to see this play, what would you say about what this experience will be like?
Get ready for just a lot of fun. Get ready for some slapstick comedy, some enjoyable music, familiar music as well, and just see cool things happen on a stage.
So Matilda, how do you balance your character being seriously trying to get her husband to move on from this corporate world, and yet the tone of the play in general is much wilder and more satiric?
Yeah, well, in order to be satirical, you have to be serious to the max, you know? So you really have to believe it and give it your all, and that's what really makes it funny in the end.
We've been talking with Matilda Crolder. She plays the main female character in High Noon on Wall Street, now at Theater on the Ridge. Now we have Stephen Oberlander. He plays, well, the meanie, the bad guy, Frank Miller. And we wait a long time to actually see him on stage. What's it like waiting backstage and the characters are talking about you for 2 hours before you appear?
It's easy because I get to relax a little more than the rest of the cast does.
How do you like singing these classic rock and roll numbers?
Well, that's the music I love and enjoy, so to get an opportunity to sing them is always something I enjoy. So,
and you really do some smooth dance moves in this. Is that a blast as well?
Yeah, I think it just kind of is more organic. I'm just out there kind of moving around as I feel it, so I don't know that it's consciously dancing or just, you know, moving to the music.
And you throw around a lot of money. Is that fun to throw money at the audience? It's not real money, but it looks like it.
It's quite enjoyable, especially since there's a picture of me on the money. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, you play Frank Miller, the antagonist of the piece. So Frank, from your point of view, what is your rationale for the things that you do?
Money. No, I'm clearly aware of the fact that I'm not a nice guy, and I really don't care. I'm out for me, and that's about it.
As I said, you don't appear on stage for a long time, but your first number is actually on video. What was that like filming that video as your opening number?
I didn't get a chance to see it till afterwards, but I had people comment that they enjoyed that they're watching the video on the screen, and the vocals that are coming out of the corner match the video, even though I'm singing it live. So that's kind of cute, I guess.
So the video was only a visual thing, and you were singing backstage?
Yeah, we recorded the video during rehearsal, so that's pre-recorded, and then I'm singing live back in the corner, where you can see me in the shade.
I know that this show has been produced 3 times here in the Chico Paradise area. Have you been involved in the production before?
I have not. No, I've done a lot of other shows with Jerry and some of the other people in the cast, but this is my first whack at High Noon on Wall Street.
So when you finally appear in the flesh on the stage, tell me about that big entrance.
I quite enjoy that because the way that I come out without spoiling it is pretty. It harkens back to a bad guy from an old movie, and it's pretty in your face and shocking. The audience gets a big kick out of it.
We've been talking with Steven Oberlander, who plays the bad guy, Frank Miller, in High Noon on Wall Street, now on stage at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we have Paul Rona. He plays the main character, Will Cooper. And I guess he has the last name Cooper because that's like Gary Cooper, who was the original star of High Noon. Paul, you've done this show before, haven't you?
Yeah, once before. The second time it was produced.
Paul, why do you like doing a show that has these classic rock and roll songs in it?
It's fun to look out into the audience and see them relating or remembering whatever memory they have from that song while they're watching the show. You can see just the faces light up in the audience when the first couple beats of a tune start.
So you're the goody-goody guy, you know, the good guy. Is it a challenge to be the good, squeaky, clean guy? It seems like it might be easier to be the not-so-good people.
Yeah, it's difficult to not respond to little jokes in the script because you're not supposed to get them, or just all around general hubbub responses having to be more of a positive thing. It's harder than I think it sounds to be that positive all the time.
Well, you've been away from the Chico Paradise area for quite a while. You've been in New York. Did you do any performing in New York?
I did. I did a couple of shows at the Heights Players in Brooklyn Heights right after I moved there about 10 years ago, actually.
What's it like for you returning to performance here in Butte County?
It's great. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I came back. I was working really hard in New York and not able to audition for anything. I shouldn't say not able. I chose to work and pay the bills and, you know, work got intense and a little too intense. So that's why I decided to come back here, have a little fun, and get back to something that I love to do.
I've been talking with Paul Rona, who plays the main character, Will Cooper, in High Noon on Wall Street, the rock and roll musical that's now on stage at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
Unfortunately, due to the fire devastation in Paradise, this production of High Noon on Wall Street and possibly Theater on the Ridge in general has come to its final curtain. Our hearts go out to everyone who suffered terrible losses from the fires, and we hope and pray that Theater on the Ridge and all the arts find a way to renew themselves. Thanks for joining us today on Weekend Showcase. We'll be back next Friday at 3. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.